WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and welcome back to all who may have been listening earlier. This is Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I want to welcome everyone on WOL 1450 AM, and now we're on FM at 95.9 FM on HD2. Also, welcome to all who are listening over the internet at woldcnews.com and at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. I want to encourage everyone to go to the website, lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, because there we have posted pictures and links to the guests that we are and information about the programs that we're talking about and sharing with you each Saturday morning. We really have a great program for you today. We've got the great Donald Temple in the studio with us today. Welcome, Donald.
I don't know about all that great stuff.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You are certainly one of the best trial lawyers in this area.
Thank you.
You really are. You really are. You have done some great work. I first have to put in that, you know, of course, this is brought to you by Wills and Trust LLC and by Equity Resource, my sponsor. Law is powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. It really impacts everything that you do. What you don't know can hurt you, but what you do know can really empower you. And Donald, you have empowered a lot of people with what you do.
I appreciate it.
And this is very true. Each week, that's what we try and do here, to empower people. You can call in. I'm going to let Donald talk to you about the most recent case that he's done that I asked him to come in, because it's about whistleblowing. It's about someone who told or tried to correct a corrupt situation in a particular government agency in this particular instance and paid a very heavy price for it. But justice was served through a jury, and Donald was able to accomplish that, and that's one of the things that lawyers do. Let me tell you a little about him. He's a principal in the Temple Law Office right here in Washington, D.C. His practice areas are civil and commercial litigation. The case that we're going to talk about today is Eric Payne versus the District of Columbia, and we're going to talk about that. But many of you know Donald from some other famous cases. You did the Eddie Bauer case. You coined the term commercial. Was it consumer racism? I think it was. Yes. He is he's the first person in his family to go to college and law school. He's been very, very active in this community, and he has brought a lot to this community. 17 years ago, he stopped police dog biting in Prince George's County, an awful practice that was apparently endemic in this area, and he was able to stop that. He's challenged successfully glass ceilings and a lot of discriminatory job-related practices. He successfully litigated police brutality cases in the District of Columbia and in Prince George's County. So welcome, Donald. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I want people to know about you and know about what you're doing, because people need to know what lawyers do. We've got a little bit of technical problem here. Hold on just a minute. My engineer is coming over to get your mic fixed. But in the meantime, I want you to know that he found it. Congressional Black Associates 36 years ago. He also was at Howard University 41 years ago and started the Ubiquity Social Fellowship, which is continuing, I think.
Yes.
Is that right?
44 years now.
44 years now, okay. He started the 21st Century PAC and organized the first national fundraisers for former mayors Wilson Goody and Harold Washington. You served on numerous boards, including the Washington Bar Association and Archbishop Carroll High School. He's a proud member of Kappa Alpha Psi.
Yes.
And Friends of the Rankin Chapel.
Yes.
You've been on numerous television and radio programs, and you are just very well known. So welcome, 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 and justifiably so.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So, Donald, tell us about Eric Payne. First, share with us the facts of the case, and then talk to us about the law and what happened there.
Well, in the District of Columbia, if you work for the District of Columbia government, not unlike the federal government, there's a whistleblower law. The District of Columbia law is different than the federal government, though. And in the District of Columbia, if you are whistleblowing, what that essentially means.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is whistleblowing? Tell us.
If an employee sees something in the workplace that borders on some type of misappropriation, some type of fraud, that affects the District of Columbia management process or budget process in terms of funds, mm-hmm. and misbehavior of that nature, that employee can make a complaint. That complaint could be made to his or her manager. It could be made to the inspector general. It could be made to mm-hmm. other entities within the government. It might be made to the city council, for example.
Okay.
It might be made to the mayor. Mm-hmm. So those communications technically are called protected disclosures.
Ah, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when one talks about whistleblower in the District of Columbia, that's a term of art. It's an arrow in the quiver. You have to know what that means. Mm-hmm. And that protected disclosure, once it is made, an employee is protected by law from retaliation.
Oh, so if you tell on somebody, say that, you know, you're corrupt or you're doing something that is illegal or improper.
That's right.
Then and you tell it to your supervisor or you can make the complaint to the inspector general for Washington,
for
D.C.
government, right.
Okay.
And then
you're protected.
You're protected, precisely. Okay. And it's an interesting concept, you know, mm-hmm. the notion that, because one would think that there's not a lot of corruption in the government, but in my
one
experience,
would hope. one would hope, yes.
but things happen, you know, mm-hmm. and people are hesitant to complain about these things because usually there are repercussions.
There are repercussions. Okay, as a real reality thing. Yeah,
that's the reality.
Yeah.
The repercussions could be discipline. It could be non-promotions. In an extreme situation, it could be terminations.
Okay.
Now, this whistleblower law is new in the District of Columbia, so there are not a lot of cases that have yet gone to trial.
Uh-huh.
And they're very difficult cases to bring.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Well, one, you're going against the machine.
Okay, that's so, a new one. All right.
So if you're going against the machine, number two, you have to have resources.
Costs money.
I mean, it's Robin Hood against the king.
Okay.
Right.
That's true, because the government is the king.
Yes.
That's a concept that a lot of people don't realize. The government is like the king was in olden days,
So, you know, you're going against the system, and it's difficult. And litigation, people always say, can you sue? I want to sue somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You can sue anybody.
Uh-huh.
Can you sustain a lawsuit?
A lawsuit.
You know,
that's
this particular lawsuit, anecdotally, was 6.5 years.
What?
So let me go back to whistleblower, though.
Okay,
so
all right.
Once you whistleblow, and then if there's if you're disciplined, in this case, the whistleblowing was protracted.
What do you mean by that?
And by that, I mean the Mr. Payne was the director of contracting for the Office of the Chief Financial Officer.
That's a big deal.
And so he was the point person in charge of contracting.
Contracts. And that's millions and millions of dollars. And that's for the whole District of Columbia.
Yeah, and so out of the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, they oversee a budget of $13 billion dollars.
Billion with a B.
Yes.
That's the District of Columbia budget that they oversee. It's $13 billion.
Yeah. So when people talk about D.C., right,
uh-huh.
they might say, well, I'm from Michigan or I'm from Cleveland. The District of Columbia budget is larger than many states.
What?
$13 billion is an extraordinary amount of money.
That is.
And so out of that, among those contracts was the D.C. lottery contract. Well, one of the interesting things about this particular case was that lottery contract was a very contentious contract. If you remember when Mr. Fitti was mayor and then Mr. Gray became mayor and then the lottery contract had some issues regarding, you know, control factors. Mm-hmm. And they wanted a new lottery contract, and so they bid it.
Mm-hmm.
Payne was in charge of that and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So what Payne began to observe was what he thought were corrupt practices. And so he reported those practices
mm-hmm.
to his supervisors, to an entity within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, which was an Office of Integrity, and what they call OIO. And
so there's an actual office that's supposed to monitor these things.
Internally.
Okay,
you know,
right. Yeah, before you go to the press or anything like that, you
right.
report within.
Yeah. Well,
right.
the thing about these offices, quite frankly, Ethel, is that sometimes people are a little bit too close, and I would call it institutional incest. Because by that I mean organizational bodies within the government, people know each other, and somebody says, well, somebody's doing something. And even in the OIG, what they will do at times may be more political than objective.
Okay.
And
okay.
so when Payne, so that means that if Payne were to report to OIG and they conduct an investigation.
Office of, what is OIG?
Office of the Inspector General.
Ah, yes. Okay.
okay.
Inspector General. All right.
So then the question is, who knows what's going on and how do they know? Who's talking to who? Well, ultimately, Payne also refused to do some things regarding the D.C. lottery contract.
So he just refused to.
Well, what happened is the contract award was made to one entity,
uh-huh.
but the powers that be wanted it to be made to someone other than that entity.
I see.
So they were putting pressures on Payne to ultimately alter the contract award or to cancel it.
Wow.
Which ultimately happened after they removed him.
Right.
So Payne was in this protracted situation for about 8 months where he was making these complaints. And as he was making these complaints, he was suffering the consequences.
Such as?
Well, he was demoted. His office was moved. He was put into a smaller office. He was stripped of his powers and ultimately terminated.
Wow.
And so that course of conduct is a classic whistleblower case where one complains, it's documented. And the documentation, Ethel, from a litigation point of view, is critical. I would say in the context of any
litigation, documentation is important.
In terms of making
this,
a record,
yeah.
you know, because and your listeners should always know. I always tell people, if you have a meeting with someone and they say something, send them an email and memorialize it. Hey, this confirms this meeting.
Let's repeat that.
Yeah.
Let's repeat that, and then we're going to go to break. I want you to repeat that because that's important.
Yeah.
If somebody thinks that they are seeing something that is corrupt or improper or something, what is your advice to them?
Memorialize it.
Okay.
Because somebody can deny it. I can have a conversation with Ethel and say, Ethel, this
so,
happened.
So, so.
You say, I didn't have that conversation. So the writing is powerful.
It's powerful.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, thank you, Donald. Thank you.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
If you died tomorrow, could your loved ones cover the cost of your final expenses, considering that the average funeral costs between $3,000 and $10,000? Would they have the means and ability to handle such an expense? Don't make a very emotional time for your loved ones even harder with a financial burden associated with death. Take the first step towards providing your loved ones with the protection and peace of mind they deserve. Call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700 and learn more about affordable final expense insurance with coverage up to $30,000 and enrollment eligibility up to age 85. No medical exam is required, rates never increase, benefits never decrease, and it cannot be terminated due to any changes in health or age. For more information or to get covered today, call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700. That's 301-593-6700. Or visit Ted Robinson Insurance at 2401 Blue Ridge Avenue in Wheaton, Maryland.
Saturday, December 31st, come and join Dr. Charlene Monk and the New Horizon Church family for their New Year's Eve service, 10 p.m. at New Horizon, 7752 Landover Road, Landover, Maryland, right inside the Dodge Plaza Shopping Center. It's going to be a wonderful night of worship and praise with the choir singing, the praise dancers dancing, and the New Year's Eve message coming from Dr. Charlene Monk.
I don't care how cute you are, I don't care how handsome you are, the devil is on your track. Don't you think that the devil is not on your track? He's trying to uncover you. Look at somebody, say, keep your clothes on.
That's Dr. Charlene Monk. Join her New Year's Eve night for an awesome time in the Lord, 10 p.m. as they thank God for one more year. And be sure to join New Horizon on Sunday, January 1st, for one Sunday morning worship service, 11 a.m. at their Landover campus. Don't miss it. Greater is coming.
Hello, everybody. Time to focus on your dental health. Tune into the Healthy Teeth and Gum Show with Dr. Peter Marai every Monday at 12 noon. It's time to take back control of your oral health. Diseases of the gums and teeth can cause major health problems and even death. So be sure to tune in every Monday at 12:30 right here on WOL, where information is power. If you have dental needs, contact Dr. Marai at 301-567-9844.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And we have the great Donald Temple with us, Attorney Donald Temple. And he's talking about a whistleblowing case, Eric Payne versus the District of Columbia. I forgot to tell you that he got, what was it, the judgment on this, $1.7 million?
The judgment is on compensatory damages. We still have a second component of that, which is the economic damages part of the case.
Oh, wow.
So it is our expectation and hope that we will continue to ensure that Mr. Payne is properly compensated.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add, Ethel, if I may, I did this case, but I also did this case with an incredible younger lawyer named Bryant McDaniels.
All right. And
what I liked about that is that, black lawyers in particular in private practice are constantly going against almost mountains of resistance, whether it's in criminal or civil practice, and certainly not armed in the smaller practices with the resources of large firms. Mm-hmm. But in our American legal system, the equalization factor is trial. Because mm-hmm. a big firm or the government can't bring in 500 lawyers. Mm-hmm. So then it's pretty much even Steven then.
Uh-huh.
You know, mm-hmm. and I got to say, you know, Brian is a younger, he's not so young, but he's younger than me. And
that what's his last name? Brian?
Rick Daniels.
McDaniels. Y'all remember that name, okay? Brian McDaniels.
He's in the federal courts a lot. He does a lot of criminal law.
Okay.
But this is our first trial together. And okay. I'm sure we'll have many. But I got to tell you, it was exciting working with Brian as a team against a team of government lawyers. And that particular experience in litigation context and the nuance of the trial. And the trial preparation, so it was a good process for Payne because Payne had been through a lot.
He'd been through a lot of pain, actually. yeah, really and truly. But you were able to get a compensatory judgment. How much was that judgment?
$1.7 million.
$1.7 million. Okay, so let's go back to what you were saying about documenting. If you're in, we're talking about the Eric Payne versus the District of Columbia case. You can look it up. It's been written about in the Washington Post several times. You can go to my website, and you will find it there as well. You'll find the link to it there. My producer put the link to the article. Billy Colbert, I think it is, in the Washington Post, has written about this case.
And Ethel, there's going to be a cover story in the city paper this week.
I definitely pick that up and take a look at it. Because one of the things I want my audience to know is how the law is supposed to work. And it really does work sometimes, you know, it really does. So, but you are a litigator, meaning, and when I use the term litigator, I mean you go to court. Okay, a lot. And you were making a very important point just now before the break, and that is the importance of documenting things.
Let me put it to your audience like this. Litigation is about evidence. Evidence is either testimony or documents. Most times in our community, we don't document, you know, an email or memorialize a meeting. I meet with Ethel, I'm just confirming that we met today at 9 o'clock on WOL, and this is what we talked about.
And this is what we talked about. Uh-huh.
Just have a great day. Bam.
Bam, and it's there.
So that it's not denied. You meet with your supervisor, and they say something off the cuff. It could be a race discrimination case. It could be any kind of case. Mm-hmm. And you at least want to have that note or that evidence, because in trial, they deny it, and notes disappear.
Exactly. Okay. So that's another thing, though. Don't you have to protect your own emails? I mean, how do you go? I mean,
Ethel, this is the real world is that people lie. The name of the game, really fundamentally in litigation, and whether it's corporate or civil or even political, is catch me if you can.
So
if I'm doing a contract, something that's inappropriate with the contract, and I know it's inappropriate, staring a contract or whatever have you, I don't think I'm going to get caught. If I rob a bank, I don't think I'm going to get caught.
That's true.
If I lie, I don't think I'm going to get caught. So the people, it could be a mortgage company. It could be foreclosures.
Right.
Something that's very common in our community.
Yeah.
Do you think that banks lie? You think that banks conceal evidence? You think that banks and their lawyers don't take advantage of people in our communities? Absolutely. The question is catching them if they can. And then to catch them means that you have to have someone who is aggressive enough, and it's difficult, and has the resources to do that. Mm-hmm. So back to Payne, what Payne did magnificently is there was an enormous amount of documentation in that case.
Oh, really?
Enormous. And for that reason, the jury had something to work with in ascertaining the significance of his claim.
Right. Donald, before we go any further, I want you to give out your phone number and your website, please, so people can reach you.
Yeah, my phone number is 202-628-1101, mm-hmm. and you can reach us at dtemplelaw@gmail.
dtemplelaw@gmail.
Yes.
Okay. And you have a website, Temple Law Office?
Temple Law Offices, yes.
Okay, .com. All right, very good. Talk to me more. What else happened in the case? How were you able to prove it? You said you had a lot of documentation. What did Mr. Payne go through?
Well, the presentation of Mr. Payne's case was extreme, well, I would say rather robust.
Okay.
We called significant witnesses, including the government witnesses in our case in chief.
You called the government witnesses.
And so we were not waiting for the government to challenge Payne. Brian and I called them in our case, including, and this is significant, Mr. Gandhi.
Now, who was Mr. Gandhi, for anybody who's just listening may not know?
Natwar Gandhi was the head of the Office of the Chief Financial Office.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand the dynamic here, the head of the office, he managed the $13 billion.
Yes.
Okay.
So Gandhi is the man who managed the whole $13 billion budget.
And we called his chief of staff.
Really?
And we called her, the next person in line who worked under her. So in our case in chief, we called the Department of Human Resources people to make a record. And the significance of that is that in the presentation of the case, we were very aggressive. In other words, we put on Payne's critical witnesses, we put on his doctors, we put on Payne, we put on his wife, and then we also called the government to make the point of the practices so that they couldn't deny in certain instances that they had received protected disclosures or that they made decisions regarding his demotion, the removal of him to the office, or his termination. And one of the interesting questions here, which was actually terminated.
Really?
Eric Payne. You might remember that Natwar Gandhi said in the newspapers, it was a big discussion between him and Kobe King in the Washington Post, that he terminated Eric Payne. But in the trial, he denied that he terminated Eric
Payne. Are you serious? He had said it in the Post and he denied it in the trial?
And so to Payne's credit, in any jury case, juries are looking at the believability and credibility of witnesses. And I think that when they put it on a scale to evaluate the evidence, the credibility and believability of Mr. Payne's case, almost for each witness that he caught, was substantial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the jury could see that the credibility on the side of the government was problematic.
That's problematic.
Yes.
That's a very diplomatic way to put it. I like that. Yeah. Okay. And I just have to put a plug in there to say that you can only be on a jury if you vote. I have to put that plug in. So that is another reason to vote, so that you can be called to be on juries and stand up for justice in our community. It's very important. Have to say that.
Break time?
Okay, got break time, right. Okay. And then we'll open the phone lines. We'll continue to talk, but if anybody wants to call in and have questions, we'll open the phone lines for that as well.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell is sponsored by Equity Resource, a development, construction, and investment firm that is transforming properties throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Our mission is to develop properties at a high level of value, a low risk of investment, while providing impeccable service to our customers. When you're ready to sell, renovate, or invest in a property, choose Equity Resource. Call us today at 202-621-6632 or visit our website, equityresource.net.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now, 800-213-0050. That's 800-213-0050. By calling 8M Recovery, you're in safe hands with access to the best treatment centers across the country. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let 8M Recovery help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there will be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Make the one call count. Call Aid in Recovery at 800-213-0050. That's 800-213-0050. 800-213-0050.
This Thursday at 10 a.m. until 10:30 a.m., be sure to tune in to Reflection with Raymond Starks. That's right. You hear Raymond on Fridays at noon. Now hear him also on Thursdays at 10 a.m. It's 30 minutes that you can't miss as Raymond talks politics, jobs, and, of course, money. So on this Thursday at 10 a.m., be sure to tune in to Reflection with Raymond Starks right here on 1450 a.m. WOL, where information is power. It's 30 minutes that you can't miss. Don't miss this week's broadcast.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
Of course I want our kids to eat fresh, healthy foods all the time. But we don't have a supermarket nearby, so it's a challenge.
I wish we were closer to good health care because of our son's asthma. Frankly, it's scary at times.
I'd love for our family to live in a nice house near a great school, but...
But none of these resources exist in our neighborhood.
Many variables can shape the outcome of children's lives, like the zip code where they grow up. That's because not all communities have the same opportunities, such as quality schools and housing, fresh food, and good health care. There are many ways to improve communities so everyone has a fair chance, regardless of zip code. You can make a difference. Join with HUD and local leaders to improve your community. Learn how at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing, shared opportunity in every community. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM. Where information is power.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and I have Attorney Donald Temple in the booth with me today. If you have questions about whistleblower cases or about litigation in general, about how do you litigate, we've been talking about the evidence needed, how do you document things and so forth, give us a call at 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. Donald, you were talking about this case, Eric Payne versus the District of Columbia. And during the break, you were saying this case went on for like 6.9 years, almost 7 years. Yeah. And because he not only was fired, what else happened to him?
Well, there's two things. One thing, Eric couldn't get a job in the workplace because of the stigma of a whistleblower. They say that a whistleblower never wins, even when they win.
And why is that? What does that mean?
Because people.
What happened to him?
Well, Eric, in his situation, he couldn't get a job, so he had to actually leave and go to Saudi Arabia to get a job in his field.
Are you serious?
Doing contracting. And because of the noise that was made in the local press about, and particularly Natwar Gandhi's comments about the termination of Eric Payton. This is literally like prominent news stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he couldn't get a job. And as to the duration of the case, we started this case in 10. I was with Eric from the time that he lost his job. And it was a very rocky case. I mean, it's a very difficult case.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots and lots of motions, lots of decisions. So the duration of the case was 6.5 years before we finally able to get to trial.
Wow. So what did you claim that the government did in particular, and what caused the jury to give you such a large amount of compensation?
It's the process of the punishment, the actions that the government took after Payne as a result of his whistleblowing.
Uh-huh.
And it's effectively a retaliative type of termination.
Mm-hmm.
So they terminated him in January 2009.
Oh, wow.
So the case is coming to trial in November 2016.
So that's another factor when people talk about suing. They don't realize you don't even get to court sometimes for years and years and years.
Litigation these days is becoming a brutal undertaking because it takes such a long time, and many times, and particularly for small practitioners who take these cases, the clients who have lost their jobs don't have the funds.
They don't have the money.
And so it is truly a Robin Hood type of endeavor.
Right? So, because you have to take depositions.
You have to do a lot of
what we call discovery, where you ask them to bring forth documents and so forth.
And there are costs, and there are risks.
Yeah. You could have lost.
We could have lost.
Mm-hmm.
And prayerfully, we didn't. The other thing, Ethel, is that the case is not over. And that's so critical because after trial, and we still have the damages, economic damages component, so there's liability where the court says somebody did something wrong or right.
Right.
And if you win that, then that's the liability side. And then there's compensatory damages, which is pain and suffering, emotional harm, for example,
mm-hmm.
mental stress.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is economics, lost wages.
Mm-hmm.
So the economic wages side of the hearing is coming. And then after that, for certain, we expect at least that the city will then file post-trial motions.
Wow.
So those motions are a range of different motions, and they will probably take another year to litigate. And if we win those motions, then they will appeal it.
Yeah.
And if it's
appealed, as long as they can,
then we could be in court for another year to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we may be 2.5 years from seeing the end of this case,
mm-hmm.
unless for some reason the city were to resolve it during that time period.
Okay. So you're listening to Attorney Donald Temple. He's a great litigator. You can contact his offices at 202-628-1101. You can connect with him on Facebook as well. And his website is www.templelawoffices.com. Donald, tell us more about some other cases. And if you have questions right now, you can call in at 1-800-450-7876. Tell us some more about other cases. During the break, you talked about cases involving banks, fraud, foreclosure, things like that. What other things are you seeing? What other practices are you seeing that should be addressed, or at least that you're trying to address in the legal system?
Like this, Ethel. People talk about civil rights, mm-hmm. and they think about civil rights like protesting or something. I view civil rights as being a comprehensive kind of thing that embraces also economic rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, people do things and they don't appear to be racially motivated, but I see the foreclosure issue in our community as a civil rights issue.
The foreclosure issue. Okay. Talk to me about that.
And the reason why is because the bank practices when it comes to the African American community are different often than it is when it comes to the non-African American community. Some of the practices that are put in place, some of the actions are much more aggressive.
Such as? Give us some examples.
Well, the foreclosure process. Okay. And the flexibility in the foreclosure process or not. We have one case that we're doing right now. I have an email, literally, a piece of paper where a bank official is saying that he is going to take this individual's home. I mean, houses.
What?
I mean, so there's a certain mentality of people that, again, catch me if you can. And we have stopped 6 foreclosures in the District of Columbia in
how
the last
do you do
3 years.
How do you do that?
Looking at the documentation and examining the practices in terms of the way numbers are calculated, the way that decisions are made, the communications, et cetera, et cetera. And they range from case to case to case.
Mm-hmm.
But the presumption here is, and this is an interesting area because you're dealing with lenders and banks and generally big law firms that oftentimes are collection oriented and they don't look at the numbers. They're just doing the work of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, as we know, the banks, there's a ton of litigation where banks have been found to be engaged in, to have engaged in fraudulent practices.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And so we're paying, I'm particularly interested in fraud because it's like a bully thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people bully, they're financially bullied. Banks harass and bully people, particularly you mentioned senior citizens. People who don't know. And so this is an area that we have begun to look at carefully and to begin to fight the big banks and to try to find areas of federal law and state law where we can do exactly that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is great. This is great for people to know about. We're listening to Attorney Donald Temple. Please know that, you know, there are great lawyers that are out there willing to work for you. And give Donald a call at 202-628-1101. We've got one more break to take, and then we'll be back. Okay? And
you're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
If you died tomorrow, could your loved ones cover the cost of your final expenses, considering that the average funeral costs between $3,000 and $10,000? Would they have the means and ability to handle such an expense? Don't make a very emotional time for your loved ones even harder with a financial burden associated with death. Take the first step towards providing your loved ones with the protection and peace of mind they deserve. Call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700 and learn more about affordable final expense insurance with coverage up to $30,000 and enrollment eligibility up to age 85. No medical exam is required, rates never increase, benefits never decrease, and it cannot be terminated due to any changes in health or age. For more information or to get covered today, call Ted Robinson Insurance at 301-593-6700. That's 301-593-6700. Or visit Ted Robinson Insurance at 2401 Blue Ridge Avenue in Wheaton, Maryland.
If you could quickly and painlessly clear your psoriasis or vitiligo, would you?
No matter how big the psoriasis is, no matter how small the psoriasis, we can help you.
Ashley is a clinical specialist for XTRAC, the amazing in-office treatment for psoriasis and vitiligo that's clinically proven to show immediate results with up to 95% clearance.
What my patients love most about the XTRAC treatments is it's safe, it's FDA cleared, and they're seeing results very quickly.
End the embarrassing, painful patches and discoloration with XTRAC. There's no medications, no topical ointments, and virtually no side effects. XTRAC uses light to transform your skin and change your life. It's covered by all major insurances and Medicare and will help you find a doctor close by.
I love what I do. I love coming in every day and making a difference in patients' lives. It's amazing.
Call now to live XTRAC clear. Call 800-273-8136. That's 800-273-8136. 800-273-8136 or visit xtracradio.com. Qualified patients, certain restrictions apply.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to a pop concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
Or B, just roll with it?
Just did! A
OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL-AM, where information is power.
Welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. We're in our last section of the show. It always goes so fast. We have attorney Donald Temple with us, and he's been talking to us about cases, well, the Eric Payne case, which was his wrongful termination for whistleblowing, as he's explained what that's all about. He's finding there's other instances of discrimination, of fraud, of just wrongdoing that have civil rights implications and yeah. civil remedies, but you have to be very aggressive about
that. One of the most important things in our community, Ethel, is that our people are educated about things and know what's going on. I just wanted to plug in that regard.
Please. That's what this show is all about.
Our Charles Hamilton Houston Law School Preparation Institute. And 38 years ago, we organized a program to teach black law students, kids who are going into law school, to prepare them for law schools. And so our students come into a seven-week program that we do at Georgetown Law Center, where I went to graduate law school. And we have a robust program. So our young students, before they go to law school, whether it's Howard or Harvard, whether it's University of Penn, University of Chicago, University of Louisville, Dickerson, wherever. And we have a group of students that come, and they get a seven-week program. What's critical about that program is not just to teach them about the substantive skill set for first-year law, but what we think is important, too, is that our people, lawyers, students, our community, have to have some sense of our values, our culture, our legacy, our responsibility, our duty. You know, we can't take things for granted.
We really can't.
And we see that now with the most recent election. But it transcends the election. It's about us. It's about us. It's not about 2017. It's about 2050. You know, it's about our children. It's about our children's children and things that we don't see. So we have to begin to internalize this compassionate compass about our future that gives us some sense, that points us in a direction where not only that we are more collaborative. You know, we are in a place in time and in history where we have to know where we are and that we need each other. You know, and the law becomes critical because the law is the framework where from which things happen.
Absolutely.
That's why people look at who these judges are.
We need to.
And who these juries are. And Ethel, you mentioned something. I urge the public, serve on juries.
Yes, please.
Don't find excuses not to. Serve on those juries.
It's important. It's really important because that's where justice is really done. That's where justice is really done.
It is.
You know, it really is.
And we have so much to do. And educate the young people, the children, you know, expose them. Bring them to court.
Yeah.
I say, let them
courts are open. A lot of people don't realize that. Court is a public place. I'll never forget when I got out of law school, I went to the Virgin Islands and clerked for Judge Christian, Judge Albert Christian, who was the father of Donna Christian, who was a representative up here. And people would literally come and sit in the courtroom. It was like going to looking at television, but it was real.
Yes.
And they would sit in the courtroom. And so people need to know that you can go to court. It is public. It is almost always open, except for very rare circumstances.
And one of the other things that we're doing, which I'm really excited about, is that we are bringing together practicing black lawyers in the D.C. metropolitan area.
And yeah, you've been telling me about that.
Forming a collaborative so that we can collaborate, so we can share more information, so that we can be more robust and more resourceful in terms of the services that we provide. Because the lawyers themselves, Ethel, they need support. They need protection. It's a rough road out here. People talk about practicing law as if it's some luxurious phenomenon.
It's hard.
You know, it's very difficult. And practicing civil rights law is lonely, dark road because the courts are hostile to civil rights claims. There is massive resistance in terms of opposing litigation, and so we have to fight even harder. People don't believe that civil rights is an issue. They don't believe that race is an issue. But
it certainly is.
It is an issue.
Mm-hmm. It really is. We're about to get to the end of the show. I want to give out your phone number one more time, 202-628-1101. So please give Donald a call if you think you have this kind of a case. But also just to encourage him to do things that are so spectacular. If you are a lawyer, please call his office to learn more about this organization that he's forming. There's a meeting that's coming up in January. And what one of the things he's told me about is that you're putting together young and old lawyers so that we can talk to each other. And that's really, really important.
The intergenerational dialogue and law students as well.
Okay, good.
History is instructive, you know, and you don't have to make the same mistakes. And a lot of the young lawyers and the young law students think that they have to make money, and money is good. Make the money. It's mm-hmm. no problem. Mm-hmm. But have a constitution about what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, 30 pieces of silver is an easy sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the young lawyers have to have to know that they and the point of that, Ethel, is this, is that the practice of civil rights law is a dynamic marketplace as well,
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
presents numerous opportunities for lawyers as well. One of the tragedies in the practice, and I go to court a lot, is I always see young white lawyers, white law clerks, white judges, mm-hmm. you know, and white judges with white law clerks. We have to make sure that we fill those voids, that we're there.
Yeah, for our people.
We're the lawyers, we're the judges, because remember the movie Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino, when Al Pacino was asked, hey, why did you come back, Devil, as the managing partner of the law firm?
Mm.
And Pacino said, hey, because through the law, I can do all the evil that I need to do.
Mm.
And that's profound. So the law can be used to do evil.
Oh, no question.
And we see that now with race discrimination and who's going to come into the justice department and with the voting practices, et cetera.
Oh, God.
So so we have to counter that, and our community has to awaken, you know, this mighty sleeping giant that we are.
That we are, yes. Yeah. I've heard that expression, that African-Americans are a sleeping giant. And every time we wake up, we shake up things and we change the world, and then we go back to sleep, you know. So we got to stay awake, good God.
Well, that's because we have to begin to be, there's a principle of international law called the right to self-determination. We have to determine our destiny. How many people do we make rich every day? How many people, by the way, that we spend our money, do we send home to the suburbs and they send their children to the best schools with our dollars?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to redirect our energies and challenge ourselves to be more thoughtful. How many young brothers and older brothers are in prison, you know, who need not be in prison? I mean, our work is cut out for us,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, now's the time.
Now's the time. As everybody hears me say every week, you know, law is powerful. So encourage your children and your grandchildren to go to law school, please.
Yeah.
If you're a young person, a young professional, know that you can always go back to law school as well. Both of my children did other things and then went to law school. You know, they started out saying, we will never be lawyers. We're not going to be no lawyers, you know, and
maybe
all like that.
Maybe my daughters hear that.
Because both of my kids went to law school long after they finished college.
Well, I want to commend you. I mean, you are a tremendous asset to this community and our community, especially in the area of your practice.
I
hope that your listeners appreciate what you bring.
Thank you.
Here and in your work. And I wanted to just say thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And this can be a mutual admiration society, because I really respect what you do. I really respect and honor what you do, because you really, really, justice is something that is what the law is supposed to all be about. And certainly in practicing civil rights law in the way that you do, where you actually get monetary civil damages for people to try to redress what they've been through, is really awesome and magnificent. So thank you, Donald Temple, and I hope everybody appreciates, tell your lawyer thank you today. Most people don't do that, you know what I mean? But we do a lot of really good stuff, and one of the objectives of this program is, in fact, to tell people and to teach people what the law is and how it can be used to empower themselves. You know, do you have any Closing words, Donald.
I just say thank you on this beautiful Saturday for this show, for the opportunity. I'm a student as much as I am a lawyer. I want to learn. I want to learn as much as I can, and I want to share that with the community because I think that sometimes we get entrenched in where we are, but it's so much to learn, you know. Mm-hmm. And we turn off those TVs and those distractions, and and keep learning.
Yeah,
keep learning and keep growing, and keep encouraging our young people to learn.
That's very good. That's a very good way to. A good idea to end the show on. Thank you very much, Donald. I hope my audience has enjoyed today's program, and I ask you to stay tuned for the next program and be here next week where we'll have more important and interesting and hopefully empowering information for you. Have a good week and be careful out there in the cold weather.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.